Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. As we continue looking at our topic, called out. Look, we're looking at individuals who God called out in unique ways and how they would serve Him. Well, growing up, I was a very picky eater. And sometimes I still can be. One time, Dad made something new, and he told me to try it. He's like, try it. I was like, well, what's in it? He says, try it first, because if I tell you what's in it, you ain't going to eat it. I'm like, okay. Well, I tried it, and I found out that it was great. Then he told me what was in it, and I was shocked. I would have never thought that these two items combined could have made something so tasty. And what he did, he'd taken those little Smokies, and he'd mixed hot dog chili with grape jelly. And I'm like, that sounds disgusting, but it's delicious. You know, sometimes we can be surprised like that. Sometimes we can look at something and be like, grape jelly and hot dog chili? Yuck. We can be surprised about how something tastes. We can sometimes be surprised about who's in charge. You walk into a store and the person that you think is in charge is not in charge. I remember when I would be substitute teaching, the kids would be like, you're a preacher? Yeah. You don't look like a preacher. I'm like, well, what's a preacher supposed to look like? I mean, do I need to carry a casserole dish or something? I mean, a fried chicken leg? I mean, yeah. We can be surprised sometimes by deals that we find. And today we're going to look at a story where the prophet Samuel would be surprised by the one that God would call out to be the next king. No one would have picked this young boy, but God did. We cannot always go by how something looks or sounds. We need to dig deep and see what's on the inside. 1 Samuel 16, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from being king? I've rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he'll kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for your incredible grace and mercy, and we thank you for this beautiful passage as you call out to David to be the next king of Israel. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the beauty that's in this passage. I pray that you would help us to see the truth that's in this passage. And I pray, Lord, that I would sit down and that you would stand up. And I pray, awesome Father, that you would move in this service today like never before. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give this time to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what we see is it's time for a new king. The Lord shows up to Samuel and says, mourning is over. It's time to stop mourning. Samuel had anointed Saul as king over the people, and yet Saul didn't live up to the standard of a king. A lot of things that Saul did when you read through the life of Saul is he did things for himself. And that is easy to see. In chapter 15, Saul was given a command by God to completely destroy the Amalekites and their stuff. Instead, he did not kill the king, and he did not kill all the sheep. He did not kill all the stuff as he was commanded. And so when Samuel shows up, Samuel's like, why didn't you obey God? I did. And Samuel's like, then why do I hear these sheep bleeding? Well, I got them to sacrifice to the Lord. Stop it, Saul. And he says, God is more concerned about obedience than sacrifice. You cannot use that you got these sheep to offer a sacrifice when you directly disobeyed what God has told you to do. So now let me tell you, God has rejected you as king. because you didn't obey him. And so that's what happens in chapter 15, and that's where we find ourselves in chapter 16. And so from the text, we can see that Samuel was sad about how things turned out. And he's the one that anointed Saul. He thought Saul would be good king, and he's sad. It says he's mourning what has happened. And so God comes and tells Samuel, the time for mourning has ended. There is a time to mourn, and there's a time to move on. I mean, it's just the truth of nature. You know, there is a time to mourn. There are certain things in our lives where we need to take the time to mourn, but there is a time when the mourning has to stop, when the mourning needs to be over, and we need to get up and move on with our lives. The time has come for Samuel to move on and name a new king. God says, time for mourning is over. Get up, stop crying, fill your horn, go anoint a new king. And some of us might need to hear that today. Get up. Stop mourning. It's time to move on, because God has called you to something. What are you mourning in your life that God is saying that it's time to move on? What are you mourning today where God is like, you know what? It's time to move on. Samuel was holding on to what was, and God says, go take care of what will be. And sometimes we can be so concerned about what was that we're not able to do what will be. We can be so concerned about what happened that we're not able to see what will happen. And so in this process, at first, Samuel's a little nervous. So God says, go anoint a new king. And Samuel's like, huh? God? Saul will kill me if he finds out. And so Samuel's a little nervous, and God says, go. And Samuel's like, Saul will kill me. Well, we know from later scriptures that Saul could be very paranoid. We know that Saul was very good at trying to take out anybody that threatened his rule, his reign, or his kingdom. By this time, the new king, Saul knew that his kingdom had been given to someone else. Samuel's already told him, God's rejected you as king, and there's going to be a new one. Samuel could have easily been seen as committing treason. And Samuel was at Ramah. He had to go to Bethlehem to anoint David. In order to get from Ramah to Bethlehem, you had to go through Gilead, which is where Saul was. So, in order for Samuel to get to where David was, he had to go through where Saul was. And so it could have been very dangerous. And Samuel had a real fear. And what we see in the text is God doesn't downplay that fear. We don't see God call him out for that fear. When he says, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a cow with you. God doesn't downplay his fear. God doesn't condemn him for his fear. God gives him comfort and says, here, take a cow, you'll be good. God does not get onto Samuel about his fear. He simply comforts him by saying, take a sacrifice. As a prophet of the Lord, no one would think anything of Samuel taking a sacrifice to make in Bethlehem. You know, like Samuel, we have fears. Our fears are real, and it's okay to be afraid at times. There is absolutely nothing wrong when you are afraid. It's normal. However, we cannot allow our fears to keep us from doing what God has called us to do. Even when we're afraid, we still need to go when God calls. And God will give us a cow to take with us if that's what we need. God will help us do whatever he has called us to do. Samuel is a little worried at first to go, but in the end, he does as the Lord asks him. Sometimes God can ask us to do scary things, but we must always know that God is with us and he will protect us when he calls us. If God calls you to something, God will see you through something. God's not going to call you to do something and then just let the king come and kill you. Amen. He is going to be with you. So what has God called you to do that has you a little afraid? What has God called you to do today that you're a little scared? First, your fear is normal. It's okay to be afraid. Second, trust that the one that called you will guide you. Trust that God will be with you every step of the way. And so God shows up. He says, Samuel, the time for mourning is over. Get up, go anoint a new king, and pick the one I choose. I love that. He says, then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you will do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. And so God tells Samuel to go and anoint a new king, and he tells Samuel to anoint the one that he will choose. Who better to choose a good king for the people than God himself? As we will see in the text here in just a few moments, Samuel would have chosen someone who looked like a king. God wanted someone that acted like a king. And there's a difference between looks and actions. And we know all too well that looks can be deceiving, which is why God challenges Samuel to look on the inside and see what's in the heart. He tells him to go, and I will anoint a king. But as we're about to see, Samuel is looking at outward appearances, and God says, no, 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 no. And so he tells Samuel, look inside, as we pick back up in verse 4. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shemaiah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And so now we see that Samuel is stepping out in obedience. He decides that he's going to do what God's called him to do. He goes to Bethlehem, and when he arrives at Bethlehem, the people of the city are afraid. Here comes the prophet. And so why is the town afraid? Well, they could have been afraid. They could have been worried because it was a common practice in that culture to bring a cow to a rural area to sacrifice for an unsolved murder. If there was an unsolved murder in a rural area, it was common for them to bring a cow to sacrifice for atonement for that unsolved murder. So they could have been like, did somebody die? They could have been worried because as a prophet, Samuel could have passed judgment on the town. Man, is Samuel coming to pass judgment on us for doing something? They could have been worried because they know what's happened in chapter 15 and that there's tension between Samuel and Saul, and they don't want to get involved. We don't know why the town's afraid. We can speculate, but we know for some reason they are, and Samuel calms them. He says, I'm here peaceably. I'm here to sacrifice. Whatever the reason for the fear, Samuel confronts them by saying that he has come in peace in order to sacrifice to the Lord. And he tells them, get everyone ready. He tells the elders to sanctify yourselves and come. In order to come before God, the people had to be cleansed. This helps us to see the incredible holiness of God and how the way that you and I come into His presence matters. We cannot come into the presence of God all willy-nilly. We cannot just come in like nothing happened. When you and I come into the presence of God, when you and I come into the presence of holiness, we should come prepared. When we come, I've said this often and I say it again, you have already decided in your heart if you are going to worship God today before you ever come through those doors. When you and I come into the house of God, we should come eager. We should come anticipating. We should come expecting to meet with God. When you and I come into the house of God, we should come with sanctified hearts ready to worship.
Amen.
We should come in prepared. Have we prepared our hearts? Have we prepared our hearts to worship God? Have we prepared our minds, or are we just going because that's what we do? We should not just come in because someone made us or because that's what we do. We should come because we want to be here. You know, I pray that each and every one of you is here this morning because you want to be. You shouldn't have to be forced to come into church. You shouldn't have to be forced to hear what God has to say. You shouldn't have to be forced to be here. You should want to. We should look forward to Sunday mornings. We should long to come into the presence of God. We should long to meet with Him. We should want to be around Him. When we come, we should have already decided in our hearts that we're going to worship God. How we come into the presence of God matters. And it's an issue of our hearts, not our clothes. It's an issue of what's in our hearts. And so the elders get sanctified. Jesse and his sons get sanctified. And the time has come to pick a new king. Because they were going to make a sacrifice to the Lord. And they had to make sure everyone is ready. And so the sons of Jesse began to come before Samuel. And when he sees the first son, Samuel's in awe. He's like, yeah. Look at that guy. That's got to be the next king, man. He looks awesome. He thinks he has to be the one. Look at his appearance and his physical stature. Remember Saul's physical stature? How he stood a head above everybody else? He looked the part, but he didn't act the part. And so Samuel arrives and begins to see the sons of Jesse. And the first one is super impressive. And God says, nope. God says it's not about what is out, but what is in. It's not about what he looks like. It's about what's in a person's heart. This is a great reminder to us as well. We all have great things that we can offer to God. Every single one of us has something that we can offer God. Every single one of us can be used by God in a mighty and powerful way. Never doubt how God can use you to accomplish His purpose. You could be the next great king, you just don't know it yet. You could. Often we see people for what they look like on the outside, and by doing so we miss a chance to get to know some really awesome people. If all we ever do is judge people by how they look, we are missing out. We don't have to look at all awesome to be used by God in a mighty way. We don't have to be a football star, a track star. We don't have to be the smartest person in order to be used by God. Sometimes the best leaders are those who look nothing like leaders. When I look at me and how God chose me to preach the gospel, I'm grateful that He doesn't judge by what's on the outside or even physical strength, because I'm not the strongest. I'm not the most athletic. I'm not the prettiest. Even so, God sees who I am. Even so, God chose me, and that's all I need. I don't need to be the smartest. I don't need to be the prettiest. I don't need to be the strongest. I don't need to be the most athletic, because all I need is the call of God, and that's good enough for me. God called me. God called me to preach the gospel, and this shows that I matter to God. And guess what? So do you. You matter to God. God has called you to serve Him. God has called you to be a part of His ministry. You don't have to be the prettiest. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the most athletic. All you got to do is be willing. Amen. Willing to serve. We need to see as God sees and look at the hearts of the people around us. And I'm here to tell you, we got some people with some really big hearts in this church. And for that, I'm thankful. Amen. We got some people with some really, really big hearts. And that's awesome. The sons of Jesse came one by one. And one by one, they were told, nope, you're not the one. And so Samuel's like, do you have any more? I mean, seven kids. Do you have any more? And Jesse says, I have one more. The runt. He is with the sheep. Listen to this as we pick back up in verse 11. Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? In other words, are all your sons here? And then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Do you have any more kids, Jesse? You need to see this. Samuel comes into the town. The elders are like, are you here peaceably? Yes. Consecrate yourselves. Get Jesse and his kids and get everybody. So there's this big event going on in town. David ain't even invited. He doesn't even get to come to the sacrifice. He's not even included in the family meeting. Eight kids, seven at the meeting, one is in the field, and that's the one the Lord chooses. The way we first meet David, we would never think that he would be the great King David. This helps us to see what God can do with any life that is sold out to him. And it also helps us to see that you cannot judge a book by its cover. What do we see? We see a little shepherd boy that wasn't even allowed to be at the meeting, chosen by God to be a great king. If you don't hear anything else I've said this morning, hear this. We do not have to measure up to what the world thinks we should. We are just to be the men and women that God has called us to be. I don't have to measure up to the world's standards. I don't have to be what the world thinks I should be. I got to be what God called me to be. Now, when you and I get to the point where we start being the men and women that God has called me to be instead of the men and women that the world wants us to be, then we'll see some revival breaking free. Amen. When we start living for God, not the world, when we start being what God has called us to be, when we realize and recognize that we matter to God and it doesn't matter what the world thinks or says about us, that's when revival breaks out. Revival breaks out when the people of God hit their knees before God, cry out to God, obey God, live for God, and decide that they're going to do what God wants them to do. We don't have to measure up to the world standards. Praise the Lord. We just got to be what God has called us to be. And when David comes before Samuel, when his little boy comes before Samuel, God says, that's the one. He's the one. The runt. When it says that he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. You know, in our culture today, we say, oh, that's pretty cool. But in that culture, it meant that he looked like a kid. It wasn't a compliment in that culture. He didn't even look like a man. He looked like a little boy. Not even at the family meeting, the one that was least expected. This is the one that God called. And oh, how God would use David. David would take down the giant. David would unite the kingdom. David would be a great king. David would have a promise that he would always have a ruler to sit on his throne. And from David, from this little runt that no one would have chosen, that wasn't even allowed to be at the family meeting, from this David comes the Savior. From this David comes the Messiah. You see, you and I can't get to heaven on our own. We need the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross for our sins. And that precious blood of Jesus comes from the line of David. All of this from the runt, which helps us to see that God can use anyone, no matter how small they may be, to other people. God can use them. One commentary says, out of his grace, God raises up and anoints an ordinary, unexpected king to serve in his kingdom. God called David, and God would use David in a mighty way, even though he was not expected. Well, what made David so awesome? What made David the great king that he was? What gave David the ability to do all these great things, even though no one expected it? Well, the text gives us the answer in the next verse where it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. What made David a great man? What made David a great king? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that was upon him. When David comes face to face with the giant, he talks about the Lord. When David has a chance to kill Saul, he talks about the Lord. How can I do this against the Lord's anointed? Yes, David had his moments of weakness, as we all do. But for the most of his life, we see a man devoted to God. David even writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." He did it in the power of the Lord. And this helps us to see that we need the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God to be the men and women that God has called us to be. We need the Spirit of God to take over and take the lead. We need to show up on the scene and bring up God. When we show up, our conversation should be God, 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 God. When we show up, we should be talking about the Lord. We should be talking about His goodness. We should be talking about His grace. We should be talking about His mercy. We should be talking about the change that has taken place in our hearts and our lives. We should be talking about how He saved us from our sins and brought us into a right relationship with Him. We should be talking about how Jesus died on the cross for our sins, how He died, how His precious blood was shed, how He rose again. We should be talking about our Jesus. How often is he even in our conversations? What set David apart was the Spirit of God. David had the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And you know what? So do we. When we give our hearts and our lives to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Now, I know that we as good Baptists are afraid of anything supernatural. Well, let me tell you, the Spirit of God is supernatural. Amen. The Spirit of God is awesome and powerful and incredible and great. And He is what we need. We need Him to take over our lives. We need Him to take over our churches. We need Him to take leadership. We need to take Him to take headship. And we need to do what He tells us to do. Let us learn to hear and heed what the Spirit of Holy God tells us to do. God shows up. Samuel, morning's over. Get up, anoint a new king. I'm going to show you who's going to be king. No, not that one, Samuel. Not that one. I want that one that's not even allowed at the meeting. I want the runt. I want the baby. I want the shepherd. And he going to do something great for me. And then the Spirit of God comes upon David. And what a great king David would become. What a great man David would become. David was an unlikely candidate to be the next king, and yet he is the one that God chose. Just as God called David to serve him, so has God called you and I to serve him with all that we are. Doesn't matter how we look. Doesn't matter how strong we are, God has called you and I to serve him. You don't have to be something great. You just need to have a heart that's willing to serve. Every single one of us in here today can be used by God in a mighty way to accomplish his purposes. God chooses you to serve. So what is God saying to you today? Maybe we're here this morning and we need to move on from the past. Maybe we need to let go of the past. Maybe we need to stop mourning what was. And we need to start looking to what can be. God told Samuel, get up and go. Maybe God's telling you the time to get up and go is now. The time for mourning is over. The time to serve is here. Maybe we're here today and we need to see what's on the inside. For far too long, we've been looking at what people look like on the outside. Maybe we need to start looking at the heart, seeing what's in here. God, what's in my heart? Maybe we're the ones that God is calling to something new. Maybe you're here today and God is calling you to something new, to a new ministry. To get involved, to do something. Whatever it is, let the Spirit of Holy God come on you and speak to your heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful passage that you give to us, and we thank you for the incredible call that you place on David's life. And Lord, as we look at the call that is placed on David's life, he was an unlikely king. He was an unlikely ruler. He was not chosen by the world. He was not chosen by the people. He wasn't even chosen by Samuel. He wasn't even chosen by his family to be at the meeting. But yet, God, you chose him. And you would use him to be an incredible king. And from him, you would send the Savior of the world. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us see today that we matter. That we have something to offer. That we are called to serve, and we might be an unlikely candidate, but God, you are in the business of using unlikely candidates for your purpose. Because when that happens, you get all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. And so, Lord, we do just pray for our hearts today. We pray that you would speak to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord, that your Spirit would reveal to us sin that we need to repent. That your Spirit would reveal to us things that we need to do for you. That your Spirit would reveal to us what we need to hear and heed and know and do. And that you, awesome Father, would move right now. Lord, we thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.